This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to Province Sports Radio. It's Tuesday, July 14th. It's casual Tuesday. There's next to no sports going on, but Steve Yeun and I are...
Nobody knows next to no, like, quite like I know.
Well, Steve, there's still headliner softball.
Yes.
There's still... Well, there's lots going on. There's 10 a.m. games.
We were just looking at a trophy, the Truffle Safety Award here at the...
It's kind of amazing. It's, folks, it's a 1990s ICBC award, yeah. Media coverage of traffic safety. The province won it a couple times. Kind of amazing that someone...
I thought it said Truffle Safety, which would be way more
fun. That would be way more fun, way more interesting, and yes. Way more she-she.
Yes. Like nothing it? Says she-she like the plush province studio.
Yes, absolutely. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little bit disappointed. My she-she softball team.
Headliners are she-she.
We were a little she-she last night in a 12-4 defeat.
See what you did there.
To our arch rivals, the Master Batters.
Master Batters. You know what the name of my summer hockey team is, right?
The Master Batters.
Master Skaters.
Master Skaters. There you go.
We won last night. 6-1.
Oh, nice.
People are really thrilled to hear about this.
Yes, I think we're adding listeners by the second.
By the second, Steve, you want to should we talk All Star Game? You want to go right off the top, or you want to talk?
I love
Canucks,
the All Star. You know what?
Summit?
You know what? The fun part of the All Star Game for me is the intros. Who gets cheered? Who gets
I just booed. Love seeing all the players lined up. Yeah. Like I love, and there's a historic angle to it. Like you look at like I can't remember who somebody was tweeting pictures of the 1969. Like all-star intros, and it's all these, you know, and it's these like, and that's also the kind of maybe the last year before they switched over to the double knit, like crazy. Mm-hmm. They were still wearing kind of old school, like linen uniforms, and so the colors, there's something about the colors of the uniforms. I just love seeing all the players.
Something about the colors of 1969.
That too, as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
From what I've been told.
Yes. But yeah, no, intros. They're fun. They're great.
And it's fun. It's fun to go through and go, that guy?
Yeah, right.
And just to see the guys' reactions and see what you know, see how many guys say hi, mom, and
and the dap,
yes. Greatest All Star moment for you?
Greatest All Star moment? Is it 93? I'm not playing to the crowd. This is legitimate.
Okay.
Was it 93 with Tony Gwynn in the extra innings, like 12th inning or whatever it was, scoring a home plate?
Yeah, that's right? Not a bad one.
That because that's. I am going to hopefully not make you feel too old. Still in my young life, mm-hmm. I think I'd played a. It's one of those ridiculous, you know, ridiculous like Saturday Evening Post moments. Like I've been out playing baseball. Like I've been literally playing a game.
Yeah.
I came home. I got to watch the All-Star game, and you know it was a July evening, and you know nobody was bothering me. I think my dad and I watched it or something. And,
Yeah,
it went to extra innings, and it was Tony Gwynn that
Tony
scored.
Gwynn. I love Tony.
Right,
Gwynn.
93 All Star game, something like that. 94, something like that.
I'm gonna definitely show my age. I'm thinking of like 79 when Dave Parker threw out somebody, hosed somebody at the plate.
Yeah,
and I think Gary Carter was catching. I can't remember who the runner was.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been in the Kingdom.
Sounds about right. If I'm not mistaken, wearing like all gold uniform,
yes,
and the round hat with the stripes,
yes, being totally Dave Parker.
Stargell Stars, nobody.
Stargell Stars, yes, yeah. Pops. Back when right fielders all threw like that. Back when the Jesse Barfields and the guys like that, Dwight Evans and Corey Schneider, and I am totally showing my
You're
age.
You're really here. Showing your age.
Yeah,
Dave Parker though, holy smokes!
There was a time where he was the guy. You know, with another guy, he was a guy, Dale Murphy.
Hey, yeah, Dale Murphy.
Was at the Nat last night?
Yes. Did you talk to him?
Did not talk to him.
Was he wearing his Braves jersey?
I'm sure he was wearing his
what?
Dale Murphy, why is Dale Murphy not in the Hall of Fame?
Well, he got voted out. He fell off a cliff. The end of his career was like he literally somehow statistically fell off a cliff.
Went from being the guy to being...
Just nothing.
Yeah. Like but there was about 5 years span.
Oh yeah,
to me, that should get you into the Hall of Fame.
People are loving our 80s baseball talk.
When you're the best guy in baseball for about a five-year span, I think that...
I think it's a strong... I remember reading something Neely about people couldn't mind. Really figure it out. They're like, how is he just...
He wouldn't even close... I think the last year, I read this yesterday, I think the last year of his 15 years,
yeah,
got like 15%. You need 75.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. Oh, yeah. He in a way, maybe is like... the long-term version of Carlos Delgado. Like, Carlos Delgado... look at his numbers.
He was a corner guy, though.
Whatever. He hit, like, 500 home runs. Like,
Did he hit five?
Yeah. He's, like... Yeah. You don't realize it. It's partly because he played on not very good teams for a lot of his career.
And
played in Toronto.
In cities we didn't.
And just didn't have the same hype and was a nice guy and you know, just didn't... Never rock the... Well, I mean, he did rock the boat a little bit with the national anthem stuff.
Yeah.
But...
My favorite, jumping back to Murphy, the thing I learned yesterday or the day before, 8 kids.
Really? Is it God-fearing man?
I think so.
Oh, there you go. Are you going to watch the game? Are you going to watch the All-Star game?
I still do. I'm not nearly as in tune. I don't like the fact that it decides the World Series.
That's dumb.
Yeah, that's got Bud written all over it.
It's just, but it's just, and it just, it's pointless. Like, it's just like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a real game. Don't pretend it's a real game and try and give it some sort of real game credentials, right?
I have a challenge this week.
What's that?
Which is that I've actually got the morning skate Tuesday as well, but I've got the morning skate on Thursday.
Yes,
which is the day after the slowest day in sports.
I know, that's a challenge.
I will get to cover the ESPYs or something.
Delgado, 473.
Okay, he was close.
280? Just over 2,000 hits, 1,500 runs batted in.
I'm not saying he's in for sure, but I'm just saying he was like literally on the ballot for 1 year.
2-time All-Star, 3-time Silver Slugger.
He was in MVP consideration at least a couple times. You know,
I
I'm just saying I get your argument against. I'm just saying he in a period where there were a lot of guys who could hit, he was like among the elite, and he just never got any credit. If he hadn't lost like 2 seasons at the beginning of his career because they couldn't figure what position to play him at.
Yeah, I just
might have been
at no point did I think Carlos Delgado was one of the best players in baseball.
Well, fair enough. And you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, I mean I there was a stretch where you know Dale Murphy was the guy that you really.
Yeah, he was in the discussion anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the best player in baseball right now then? I'll put you on the spot.
Oh, is it do you go Trout or do you go McCutchen?
I think it's Trout.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Trout.
I think it's Trout. McCutchen's pretty good. Did you see McCutchen's invitation for Tim Kirkjian on the weekend? Yes. That was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think think Trout is a guy that, you know, when he's on, you really, you know, kind of tune in to watch. You know, the guy that I'm interested in watching because I've got him on one of my fantasy teams is the young Houston shortstop, Carlos Correa.
Yes.
Who's been very good.
I was hoping to pick him up, but I just missed out on him as kind of my entire fantasy league season is gone. As regular listeners of Casual Tuesdays know, my team is terrible. My teams are terrible.
My Terry McKeag Fantasy League.
Memorial League.
I wasn't going to call him because I know Terry's a devoted listener.
Well, everything you do involving your colleagues is their Memorial League, isn't it?
Well, I'm a big fan of the Howard Samura Memorial Basketball Tournament.
Yes, Memorial Invitational.
I managed to get Correa and Corey Sager.
Nice.
So I'm
nice.
So I'm doing
set yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing okay up
That's
the middle.
That's good. That's good.
Speaking of up the middle, what about the Canuck
summit? Yeah, well, there's a lot of fallout from there, wasn't there?
There's a lot of things up top. A lot of people. Interesting how Trevor Linden's gone from being Trevor Linden to being a kind of a mere mortal in the eyes of many of Canuck fans.
I find it interesting because everything Trevor does is calculated. Right? So, you know, they have this summit where they're open, and they know people are going to hit the roof when they tell them we traded Eddie Lack and we could have traded Ryan Miller, right?
But I think, and then not to...
I'm not even talking about quality. I'm just talking about narratives, right? Yeah. Like, the people love Lack, right? Yeah. I'm not even talking about whether it really was the right decision, but people love Lack. There's no real love for Ryan Miller.
No.
Right? And so Jim Benning says this, and then Trevor Linden, you know, has a few discussions on the side with fans, but you know, like, they're gonna get out. You know, Trevor knows that. You know that.
I would be stunned if there's not more to that story.
Oh, of course. What, the Lack Miller thing?
No, the Trevor telling the fans that they tried to trade tried to trade Chris Higgins but couldn't, or whatever.
Or whatever it was. Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that, that Leonard would throw a guy right? in the bus. There's got to be more to that.
It's strange. That's what I, yeah, I just was like, huh?
Because nobody is better at towing the company line and selling the, you know.
Well, I mean, when he got hired, he was on TV that morning and had to lie to Steve Darling's face. Yes. So, you know, I mean, it's not like he's, you know, uncomfortable he's very telling good. Untruths.
I wasn't going to go that way. I was going to say he's very good at protecting the brand.
That's what I, yeah, I mean, in that sense. But I mean, in, you know, I'm not saying,
yeah,
know,
yeah, go
as,
ahead.
As just a nefarious person, but just like.
Yeah, just shiv to, you know, Charlie. Wow. Right there.
But you just said the fans are.
So Jason Botchford, line one, calling to.
I'm just calling. I'm just trying, you know, buddy. We're going to have a Angry Thursdays with Jason Botchford.
Angry Thursdays. Casual Tuesdays with Stevie and Angry Thursdays.
Yeah, anything. I mean, yeah, that was, it is kind of amazing. And I sat there and thought, okay, you know, every, in a certain level, is everything they're doing just endlessly testing the waters? Like they're floating ideas?
I think part of the problem, though, is I think no one asked the next question is you know, what type of offer did you get from Ryan Miller?
Right.
Did you have to pay salary?
Right.
You know, would the fans have been happy with that? I mean, I went back and forth with some guys on Twitter yesterday saying, you know, if Eddie Lack goes to Carolina and backs up,
right,
does that change your thinking?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, in the moment, yeah, you don't know that, right? I mean, you're trading what you believe in. And,
you know, if you know, would you be upset? You know, would you have traded Eddie Lack to Edmonton? Assuming that deal, you know.
Would you have traded Corey Schneider to Edmonton? Right? I mean, I know we've talked about that before, right? But that was one of the options there. Would you have traded Luongo to Edmonton? Because that was another option.
Yeah,
I don't think Lou would have gone to Edmonton. No, but
yeah, I don't know. I think I get why they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you want, you know, what, Edmonton come here three times? Edmonton's three. You play them five and you get them three at home or something, or two at home. You know, do you want people chanting Eddie Eddie?
Yeah.
You know,
I guess the people say, well, you know, the angle is we don't want to trade, you know, to our conference rivals. Well, I don't know. Chicago doesn't seem to have a problem with that.
Goalies are different, though.
That's true.
Right? I think goalies are completely different animal. I don't, you know, I still go back and I've been hammered on Twitter about this. I think I would have moved Markstrom. I would have kept Lack and I would have seen where they were at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And the huge flaw in that is that if you decide to move Lack at the deadline, you may, you know, the value, you know, if he backs up all year, you lessen his value even more.
Right.
If you move him at the deadline and you get less value, then suddenly if you don't bring a goalie back, Kanata's your, you know, you're back up to a aging Ryan Miller.
Yeah.
So
isn't the I mean, I like
that theory because it was
no, it, yeah, but no, I mean, it, you have to, because you have to think about all the parts to the question. You can't just say this. I mean, the thing in the end was that, like, I mean, I enjoyed watching Eddie Lack play. I thought he was a pretty good goalie. Yeah. I do think he's better than Ryan Miller, but at the end of the day, he's just pretty good. He's not like a superstar. He was not in.
He wasn't a first round draft pick who played for the Americans at the World Juniors.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody would argue that he's got numbers that would suggest he might be Corey Schneider. He might be Lou. Like those guys were in a different category. There was lots of evidence.
He was an undrafted,
right?
Yeah,
who developed into quite a good player and has played in the NHL and has been was a good goalie for
them. He was a good find, but he wasn't a.
Yeah,
wasn't a first round draft pick that they spent.
I mean, there are just bitter pills everywhere to be swallowed, which is that the Canucks are not going to be very good, that they're challenged in terms of their, you know, scoring future.
Yes,
and that, you
they're
know,
the classic tweener team, right?
They really
are. They're kind of half in, half out, hoping to make the playoffs, hoping to keep the fan base fairly happy, and hoping that Shinkarik and Horvat and Vertanen and.
Well, and I think they're
somebody on defense.
Well, and I think they're going all in. I think really it is that a lot of what Benning's doing is he said, well, I'm not going to tell anybody, but it's obvious that I'm rebuilding, and I'm trying to open a huge hole for an enormous potential run at a free agent next summer. I'm just not sure that they've got the right free agent in mind.
Oh, are we talking Luch? Or
I don't think he fixes this team. I don't think that's the.
I don't even know if I think that's a huge assumption,
right? He'll even be available, or that he'll even be available, or that Steve Stamkos will be available, or you know, I mean, which is insane. Like, I have a if you're Steve Stamkos, why wouldn't you re-sign in Tampa? Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got a great manager, you've got a bunch of really good core pieces, and it's not Toronto. Like, as much as people say, well, obviously they want to go home, there are a lot of players that don't, and he's, you know,
which could, and Milan, right? And Milan could be in that
category. Right, and he could absolutely be in that category. Yeah. So I'm sitting here going, they're trying to open some cap space, but for what? Because we don't really know yet. You know, I guess if you're going to try to fix this team, you got to roll the dice at some point.
You need a bridge guy between the Twins and Horvat, and you need that 26, 27-year-old guy, which a lot of those up next year's unrestricted guys would be in that bracket, right? So I'm very much on the Jason Botchert side of the equation, where Dougie Hamilton would have been a very good get.
You know what? Can we call that the Steve Ewan side of the equation and say that Botch jumped on board with you?
Well, I don't think. Well, no, I've been hammering the drum that I think of late, you to be a good team, you need a Norris Trophy candidate. I think I've said that
absolutely,
and I think they haven't had one here in
ever. Like, Olin was almost there, I think.
Well, yeah. You may see the province somewhere down the line do a Canuck best of.
Interesting project in mind.
Yes. You may see that somewhere down the line. I don't know. I'm just predicting. But I think if you look at the all-time great Canucks, and we did a little bit of that with the 101 greatest Canucks last year, which you can find at
theprovince.com/sports.
But Olin is their greatest, their greatest defenseman. Mm-hmm. And he was never, was he ever a top 10 NHL guy?
I think it's hard to remember, because I can't remember when he hurt his eye. Mm-hmm. I think that he was on the verge of being that. That's for sure. And then he hurt his eye. Maybe that's what the sequence was. But anyway, Steve, you're getting texts. What's going on? Is that Luch? Is he
listening in? Do you want to know who it really is?
No.
Yes. Jamie Pippolato.
Seriously?
Jamie Pippolato. Working on an item for our Ride to Calgary cancer.
Very good. Jamie Pippolato, of course, of the BC Lions, formerly of
the province.
Also ran the Grey Cup.
Heck of a good guy.
Great guy. Coached both his sons in rugby.
There you go.
And his son's on the Canada. James, his older son, is on the Rugby Canada long list.
He's a rugby guy.
He's a nice kid. Both nice kids.
You know who else is a good rugby guy? Jamie Lovejoy.
That's correct.
There you go.
You want to talk quickly about August 5th? What's going on there, Steve?
August 5th, we're doing a Ride to Conquer Cancer auction at Earl's on First Street. Thanks for that.
What's the cross street there, Steve?
Is it Broadway?
It'd be West Broadway. That's correct.
Would be West Broadway. I am a suburb guy, so
it's okay.
I just go off landmarks.
That's near Granville and Broadway.
There you go. What have we got? We've got the Whitecaps are offering up a suite for us.
Really?
For a game, yeah. Today I'm picking up a Canadian national women's soccer team signed jersey.
Oh.
What else? I hear rumors of Brendan Gallagher swag.
Something about a Canadian's helmet, if I'm not mistaken.
Vancouver Canadian's helmet, yes. Tony Fernandez signed ball. Working on some more Canuck gear. We do have a Alex Burrow's replica stick.
Nice.
Vancouver Giants, not a suite, but their Hard Rock section down.
Oh yeah,
down the goal. Tickets for that. I got some Fraser Down stuff.
Oh, like you get to ride on a horse?
I don't think you get to ride on a horse. I think you get to watch that. What other stuff? Got some Vancouver Stealth swag. Rumors of some Tyler Benson swag if you're a prospects guy.
Perhaps some photo opportunities too with Steve Ewan and others.
We've got Biff Naked paintings.
That's right.
If you're a Biff Naked fan, I'm expecting Biff.
Which you are.
I am a huge Biff Naked fan. We have some Michael Bublé swag from the Bublé family.
Okay.
Louis Bublé. One of the nicest people I've ever met.
Okay.
Very nice man. I don't know Michael at all.
Okay.
I assume he's a nice guy because his father's a very nice guy. But yeah, I hear rumors of a Pavel Bure Florida jersey. Haven't got into my hands yet, but
possible. There's lots of interesting things.
Ron Twagle of your Vancouver Giants fame is talking about that. So yeah, no, I think it should be great fun. I think it's, you know, raising money for the Ride to Conquer Cancer, which is August 29th, 30th, I think.
Which is going to be deep in training right now.
Way too long,
as you discovered last year.
Oh, stupid.
Hey, I ride my bike to work. That's enough for me.
That is outstanding. That is
Softball City. You rode at Softball City this weekend.
I was thinking about riding to Softball City if we can make that into a sweat.
I like segue, it. There you
but,
go.
But I
didn't. But you didn't.
But I didn't ride out there. Yeah, I was out there. I great event. I'm really excited about the Worlds next year. Greg Tim, who runs that event, doesn't. It's they've been doing a great job for like, years. They've been getting.
I can't remember how long. As long as I can remember.
I think it goes back into the. It was when softball first got into the Olympics. So I think it goes back into the 80s even.
Okay.
Without looking at it. But they had Cuba this year, which was huge. They have the Worlds in July of next year. They're talking 30 teams. They're talking teams from all over the world. I talking about one of the great cultural events. Cuba was thrilled to be there. Cuba seemed real. We did a story in Sunday's paper. They were Miguel Acosta was the man's name. Was the president of Cuban softball, or the equivalent of the president, and he was giddy to, you know, talking about how well he was treated and what a great time he had. And I, you know, I think it's a real it's a chance to rub elbows with Olympic level athletes, right? Because they're walking around, watching games, hanging out. It's a real interesting event. A great event if you're into female sport, you didn't get that with FIFA. The athletes were very sheltered. You didn't get a lot of time with them, but you could end up walking up to the concession and being next to Cat Osterman, the famous American pitcher, or Jen Salling, the Canadian shortstop, or Natalie Ward, the old Aussie shortstop. They're just hanging out, and I mean it's a lot of fun and got a Nat Bailey like vibe to it.
Yeah,
you know, being outdoors and a beautiful area.
And
much like Nat Bailey,
I was gonna say the Seas are having a bit of a tough time so far.
Yeah, no, they're not.
People are still showing up.
They're still. Last time I looked, they were averaging 5,500,
which is basically a sellout.
61 and change.
I was
going
to say with the new sections.
Yeah, 61 and change, right? So, yeah. I mean, last year was 51 55. I can't.
Anyway, they continue to do very well in the stands. On the field, not so much.
No, and I mean, they were due. We had a great run here of I mean, if you think about it, a year ago we were watching Castro. Miguel Castro,
yeah.
and it wasn't that long ago we were watching him in the majors. I mean, it's, you know, Marcus Stroman. There's been a slew of really high end shortstops come through for, you know, Franklin Breto is big in the Oakland system.
Yeah.
Noah Syndergaard, who we saw here, is already pitching for the Mets. Justin Nicolino, who we saw here, is pitching in Florida. I mean, they were due for an average year, right? So, and it's early and things at this level can, you know, change on a dime.
This is something I was debating with my buddy Tom, and we've got to go shortly, but the Jays.
Shameless plug for Tom.
The Jays.
Yes.
And he was kind of going, oh, you know, they got these prospects, whatever, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? They keep finding prospects. The Jays need to go for it, make a big trade, pick up the pitching that they
but
need.
But, I mean, they've made.
Go know, all in. Just
but
do it.
But
you play to win. Why do you play the game? You play to win.
Well, it's practice? No, especially in the AL East. Right?
Oh my God,
where you're hanging with kind of the rock stars of baseball. Yeah, they're not. I know Stroman's hurt. I know Son. They've had some bad luck this year,
but they're still hitting.
They're still. Josh Donaldson is as good a player as there is in baseball right now, and I think to. You get him and Batista and Encarnacion, you're going to score runs. Spend a little money, go get some pitching, take a run and sing, and have people fall in love with your ball club.
I agree.
Anything else?
No, that's it. That's all I got. I've run out my list.
Well, that's exciting. Well, who's your barbecue guy?
Good point. Who is my barbecue guy? I was just thinking about him the other day.
Okay.
I was thinking about yesterday. My barbecue guy is going to be... Who the heck was it? Oh, it's going to be Octavio Rivero
okay.
from the Whitecaps. Because... He's having some struggles.
Yes.
You know, he just needs to kind of hang out, you know, just relax.
Chill.
Get his mind off soccer for a little bit. Because, okay. You know, the guy needs to score some goals.
Yeah.
That's my guy. Who's your guy?
Travis Lule.
Oh. A couple local sporting heroes.
There you go. He's just coming off that big OT win. He probably...
God, needs... I learned my lesson.
Did you roll out of there? Were you one of those guys? No.
Yeah, Candace and I were watching the game and then
No.
No, I wasn't at the game. Oh, I was watching it at home. I was not one of those guys.
You're
no, one I don't
those
leave.
Guys.
I don't leave. I don't leave. I only ever left one professional game once.
Yeah.
Because it was the Canucks and the Oilers, 1997 or 8.
Yeah.
They were losing 7-0 with 10 minutes to go in the third period. I'm like, I'm leaving.
Yes.
That's the only time I ever left. No, we were watching on TV and Saskatchewan scored with, you know, 2 minutes to go or whatever it was, and we're like, well, that's it. Turned it off and hopped on our bikes and, you know, went out for the evening or whatever. And
came back and she was over?
Whew. Came back and discovered that the Lions had won.
The only time I've ever done that was that Islander Capital overtime game. One of the longest games in history. Where
the one in like 88 or whatever?
The one where LaFontaine got the goal at the end. It came.
Well, yeah. Came, that's long. Like, that's just...
Went out and did something, came back, and I went, geez, this is weird. Is this a replay? No, it was the same.
Still on.
Still on.
So, Lule, yeah, your man, your boy?
Yeah, he's
looking good?
I'd like to see them get going. I think it's good for the market that people care about the Lions, and a little bit of a disappointing crowd, so we'll see if a
big comeback. I mean, they always have light crowds at the beginning of the year. People kind of want to
be like that, though.
I don't know.
23?
Yeah, but they, I mean, yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. We can talk about that probably another day. I mean, we talk about that kind of stuff a lot, but...
Who else did we talk about that with? Whose podcast?
Lowell Ulrich.
Yes.
Province Sports Radio.
Where can you find him?
ProvinceSports.com.
There you go.
And at Fifth Quarter, QTR.
There you go.
And...
Where can we find you?
At Rising Action. Where do we find you?
At Rising Action. No, at Stevie Owen.
Still, I'm so impressed with all you guys that you got your actual names on. You know, Ben Kuzma. At Ben Kuzma. At Steve Ewan.
At Botch.
At Botchford. He was Botchford Canucks at some point.
He was Botchford Canucks and decided to renege on that.
Love it. I think Botchford opened up or something.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah. Do you like how Johnny's got his birth year in his? Johnny Mac 68?
Yes.
I think that's classic.
That is Johnny Mac.
He would be the kind of guy that he would... Do you think he signs when he goes Jonathan McDonald and he puts, like, whatever his hockey number is, 7?
Yes.
15?
And puts a little heart over something.
Maybe.
There you go.
Maybe.
Maybe we should leave now before I say something else bad.
I don't know. Good having you, Steve.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.